This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
We're lions.
We're lions is what we are. Hold on. We got
sheep dogs. We've done something very special.
And by we, I mean Richie Rich, basically. But Steve Classic is on duty right now.
Speaking of number two stars.
So you're going to do a thing?
Here we go. Teacher's heart's on fire. She can put up the flame. Captain Kick-Ass got a heart in like a hurricane. She's taken. She's got a ring on her hands. And her husband's catching on, he can't stand.
With that said, let's actually go to Gigi. You're on Free Talk Live.
Was that a secret message to me?
That was AI, but yes.
You guys are so cute. You really crack me up, all of you.
You're the second caller with the theme song.
Two comments, both of which are just my personal opinion, and then I have a question which has nothing to do with my comments. If I could please do all three.
Okay, go.
Thank you. Number one, I am very concerned. I am very frustrated and to some extent frightened by the out of control violence that I see on various news programs around this country at universities and colleges. It does remind me, as a retired professor of history, of what we saw happening at universities in Germany and Austria in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
My second comment I would like to share,
the number again, two comment,
my personal opinion, is I am outraged once again by the Israeli government enforcing censorship, shutting down Al Jazeera, which in Arabic means the news, as in news that we watch at night. I think it is a violation of so-called democratic values and freedom of the press that they offer as a democratic country. I think it's hypocritical. And many years ago, not too many, but in the recent past, a Palestinian American journalist working for Al Jazeera, Shireen, I want to pronounce her family name properly, so if I'm mispronouncing it and a listener hears me, please bear with me and give me some leeway here.
Just give it a shot.
Ms. Shireen Al Abziza.
Okay.
She was killed. She had a helmet that said press, a vest that said press, and she was killed.
Might as well put a target on.
By a sniper, by an Israeli military person. We haven't heard a damn thing, not in this country or from Israel. Where is this American journalist?
Yeah, it's the first I've heard of it.
Nobody
is from
is
you.
Nobody is taking responsibility, and we ain't hearing nothing about it. And it's disgusting.
Well, we don't have journalists in the United States much anymore. There's a few of them here and there, but
they all wait for the Gothamist.
Well, most of them just regurgitate whatever government press releases are fed to them instead of doing any actual real investigating.
I don't care if she was Mexican with green polka dots. she was working to promote awareness and information, and she was killed. And I have a problem that I don't hear anybody in America saying, let's find out what happened to this journalist.
Well, you're saying it now.
My question that has nothing to do with these comments is, now I'm reacting like a Jewish mother. I always got 1 to 2 letters a week from Ian. I haven't received a single letter from him in almost 3.5 weeks. Where is Mr. Freeman?
He has been moved to the federal facility in Devens.
Okay, that answers the question.
There is fresh information over at freekeen.com on how to write to his new location. If you want to
peruse that. What state is he in?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Okay. So they took him from Stratford County Jail and they put him in the federal facility, finally.
Yeah, he was at, I think, Merrimack is where he was. And then they moved him to...
They put him in 2 county jails, and now he's finally in a federal facility where I am hoping he will have much better nutritional meals, more information at his available access, and better health care.
I don't feel like it works that way, though. I feel like him being held at the county level was going to get him better nutrition, more access. Well, so far that's the case.
Let's hope that we are both going to hear proper information.
I've spoken to the man this week, so within the last week.
Can you do me a favor, sir?
Yeah.
When you communicate with Ian, will you please tell him, write Gigi and Jeffrey a letter so we know where to send a letter to him?
I'll give him the wink, wink, and the nudge, nudge.
I would appreciate that courtesy very much.
All right. Gigi, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you. Feel free to call us again, 603-283-6160. Let's move right along to, we've got Paul calling. Paul, where are you calling from today?
I'm still in Mesa, Arizona.
Mesa, Arizona. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just, have the recently passed April tax terrorism season. I thought I would get people ready for next year.
Did you pay your extortion?
Yeah, that's what it is, all right.
Did you celebrate, like all of us celebrating on April 15th?
Yes.
Wait, what's the day? What's the day of the year when, like, you've worked enough through the year to
Tax Freedom Day?
What day is that?
New Year's Eve.
It's a different day every year.
Oh,
because
I thought
they do the calculations.
Oh, I see.
I thought it was New Year's Eve.
And then if you calculate all the taxes you pay,
Tax Freedom Day, 2024.
July.
I was going to say, like, Halloween is probably this year. If you made it to Halloween, you paid all your taxes.
Thanksgiving next year.
Right. Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and then,
But I'd like to give the following quote, and the trick is to discover who was it that made this statement.
Okay.
The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth becomes the greatest enemy of the state.
I know who that quote is. I'll give these other guys. Don't look. Oh, he looked. Sorry.
It doesn't matter who counts the votes, but
do you know who was who made that quote?
I was looking up Tax Freedom Day, so I wasn't mentioned.
Do you want to reveal it, Paul?
Yes, it happens to be Dr. Joseph Goebbels, Reich Minister of Propaganda from Nazi Germany.
Well, he was a doctor.
Is that Reich?
Is that Reich?
Anyway, I'm reading from a book, Income Tax, Shattering the Myths, by a gentleman by the name of Dave Champion, whom I'm encouraging to call into your show at some point.
We're still waiting. Future. Big fans.
Yeah, and so.
All right.
According to one source, Tax Freedom Day was April 18th.
I thought it was right around, like, Tax Day. Right?
Yeah.
Like, last year, at least. I was like, wow, so, like, Tax Day and Tax Freedom Day are like, you know,
the same day.
Or within, you know, a day of each other.
It was like on the halving, too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Right about that time.
Wow.
Right before.
Well, does that
right
before mean the that halving. If Tax Freedom Day precesses further into the into the future, then you don't have to pay your taxes until that day? Yes.
Well, I mean, the only reason...
If you're
going
to pay, does it matter when it happens?
Yeah, the only reason anybody pays is because they're under duress. Right.
Yes, correct.
They fear what will happen to them if they don't.
Right. It's like a shopkeeper, you know, having to pay extortion to the gangs.
Yep.
Well, however, the major problem is, I mean, you know, yes, obviously the real answer is that nobody has the authority and the right to demand money from people.
Boom.
You know,
but they do
the
it. And people
however,
pay.
Even those people who claim to be law-abiding citizens and think the Constitution was the greatest thing that was ever written on hemp paper, Mr. Champion points out the fact that the federal government did not, in fact, tax 95% of the population. And he will expound at great length at that point. He certainly does it in this book, Income Tax Shattering the Myth,
yep.
Available from drreality.com. But, I'm not being paid to say this.
That's all right.
You should be.
So,
again, we've covered this before. Here's the problem, right? If you try to take that advice and get caught, you will then be tried in front of a jury of your peers. And I think it was well covered last night how well a jury of your peers go, especially when they have been indoctrinated to believe the opposite. Right. Well, yes, I'm paying my fair share.
Yeah.
Everyone should pay their fair share. And this jabroni does not want to pay his fair share, therefore guilty.
How do you know he's a jabroni?
Yeah. That's their thought of him.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I watched.
See, you hear the voice? That's me, like, doing the juror.
Oh, you watched that? Yeah, I was going to mention him when you mentioned that. He does have a very long and rabbit hole-ish YouTube series on how and why there is no law that says you have to pay income tax.
Yeah, and of course, Ian, you know, broke no laws, and yet somehow he's now sitting in a federal prison. So, this, you know, your point is well taken. However, the first, you know, if we can at least get over the first hurdle that, no, you're not obeying the law by paying taxes, you know, at some point, yeah, I'm looking for this, what's it called? The once you reach a certain number of people, things, you know,
yeah.
Critical mass.
That's a big
monkey or whatever. Yeah.
It's unfortunately a big if. The vast majority of people don't care, will pay, you know, out of duress or because they believe it's the right thing to do. But, you know, Larkin Rose, the theft by deception video that painstakingly goes through all of it, right, was his defense in court, was found guilty by a jury of his peers, and did jail time over.
Yep.
Right? We've got another, you know, frequent caller and comes out to the meetups, Bare Arms, doing similar work.
Yeah, he's got a free book that he has published about how you don't have to pay federal income tax unless you make federal income.
Because it's a modifier.
Right.
But they don't care. You're not going to get a jury to, like, understand it, yet let alone accept it, internalize it to the point where they're not going to convict you, even if it's in their own best interest to do so, because it alleviates them from the burden of taxes and their families forever as well.
Crabs in a bucket.
And even if you get through all of that, right, if you get to the constitutionalists, right, then all they have to do is pass an amendment, make it illegal, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter.
Right.
So... Now it's the
law. You'll be pounding the podium, right?
Anything else, Paul?
Well, no, I just wanted to make that point, and so hopefully he will call in and clear up all this stuff. So.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Paul. We appreciate you. Have a fine evening. I think that what it would take to convince a jury would be all of the people who have given their time and effort to these types of books and video series and who have done the in-depth investigation to literally teach the jury about all of this stuff. Now, you're not going to get a judge to go along with that because they're like, oh, it's irrelevant.
Right? His salary is paid by taxes.
Right? Yeah. So
by the time you get to the jury, it's too late.
It's the same reason why we can't, like I've conceived of it, and I didn't invent this, but I got it from somebody else, and it's popular amongst libertarians and cryptocurrency enthusiasts. It's the free speech defense when it comes to cryptocurrency. Because all cryptocurrency is software. Software is zeros and ones, and software is already recognized as free speech by the U.S. government. So, therefore, like, me exchanging cryptocurrency with you for something is me exchanging free speech.
Not, like giving him a floppy disk.
Okay.
Not money. Right? But judge is never going to let that fly. Right? Judge is never even going to allow that argument to occur, much less you be able to invoke that defense.
Yeah, but if you go back to the taxes, by the time you get to the jury, it's too late. The judge is too late.
Right.
Right. They have been indoctrinated, most of them, their entire lives by being in the government education system. And that system is going to brainwash them from age six onward to believe that the state is the authority.
You bring up a good point. Whenever you hear the word public, just substitute the word government and get a more accurate picture. Public works. Government works.
Right, but
parks. Government parks.
People are you know, ingrained to think there are two things that are definite in life, right?
Death and taxes.
Right.
And tables.
I guess tables, yeah.
Tables? Sorry. It's a WWE thing. Don't worry about it.
Tables, chairs, ladders. No, death and taxes, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, death is obvious. Well, I guess taxes are too. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a statist made that up.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And put it in school.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in school. Yeah. Teach the children.
Yes. Yes. There are only two inevitable things.
Death. It used to be death.
Yeah.
And then, like, well, how can we get them on the hook for taxes?
Well, like
change the old thing.
Somebody asks you, what do you know for certain? My answer is, well, the only thing I know for certain is that nothing is for certain. Right? That's the only certainty that any of us have. Right. However, you could also answer that with death and taxes.
But leave out the taxes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I prefer death.
Well, if you don't pay your taxes.
But what's the rest of the New Hampshire motto?
Live free or die.
Death is not
the worst of evils.
Yeah.
Right.
So, there we go. Wow. Yeah. Now, do you suppose Dave Champion, do you suppose his last name is actually Champion? Or did he have to change it to Champion?
And if he changed it, did he pay the government to do it?
And if he did change it, is it because he won something and was the champion of a thing?
A major award, probably. You know?
Same way you got to be the captain.
What, like the leg lamp?
Yeah.
That's a major award.
Right. He's the champion.
Random Christmas movie shout-outs here on Free Talk Live.
Captain, did we finish the number two story?
You'll shoot your eye out.
Did we finish the number two story?
I think somebody came by with some government sponsored bags and picked it up and threw it away.
Oh, they threw it out. Okay, good.
I think it's in the trash. You want me to dig it out?
No.
I'd have to sanitize again.
We'll just let it decompose.
All right.
Compost bins.
I want to talk. You guys know I before I was a nationally syndicated radio talk show host.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Holiday.
Where's your suitcase full of money?
Well, I was, and before I was a musician, I was also a comedian.
Okay.
And I don't mean like I went out and did stand-up comedy. I mean I wrote parody songs. I wrote funny songs where I changed the words of existing songs.
Not funny anymore.
Not funny.
I've got a couple things in the works that might be funny again.
Okay,
you know, we'll try to do a swan song as I get older. Right?
All right.
But I still keep an eye on comedy, and I have felt for a long time that comedy is dying as far as stand-up comedy is concerned. Also, like, sitcoms aren't, like, they've changed, man, a lot, right?
I don't watch sitcoms anymore.
Well, when I do, like, I'll give one a shot every now and again and go, I'm so disappointed. They're just not good.
I mean, we're talking about Saturday Night Live. I haven't seen Saturday Night Live in a long time, but I don't know what is potentially funny on that show anymore.
I will tell you what's funny on that show. The Weekend Update.
It's still funny?
Where they switch jokes.
What do you mean?
They switch. They're
like, the two hosts of Weekend Update will write jokes that the other has to read. And they don't tell them what it is until it hits the teleprompter.
Really?
I can see how that's funny.
Yep. That is hilarious.
That is funny.
The best bit or on Saturday Night Live. And then they did the Beavis and Butthead thing like a couple weeks ago, and everyone loved that. So
now, this article from Outkick.com is going to talk about something that Jerry Seinfeld has said. Are you guys familiar with Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yes.
He just did like the Unfrosted movie or something about Pop-Tarts.
Now, I knew him way back when he was just doing stand-up. Not knew him, but like knew of him.
When he was just Jerry.
Way back when he was just doing stand-up. And I never really found his stand-up that funny. It was a little too dry.
What's the deal?
Yeah, it was a little...
With airport hand sanitizers.
Yeah. A little too...
Everything's in that plane is small. Too much,
but his television show, Seinfeld, right, was...
Great show. I got the whole box set on DVD.
DVD.
So the headline here says, Jerry Seinfeld slams extreme left for ruining comedy.
Yeah.
Ruining comedy.
I figure he would be left himself.
Jerry Seinfeld isn't a fan.
Have you watched Seinfeld?
Yes, I have, but
there's
if you're...
very offensive things on that show.
Right, which would never, you'd never be able to get away with that today.
Jerry Seinfeld is not a fan of people who have ruined comedy. It's not a secret at all that comedy simply isn't what it used to be. Stop and think about how many great comedy films have been released in the past 15 plus years. It's not many. I can't think of one in the past 15 years that I've been like, yeah.
Like a comedy?
Yeah, like the last... comedy movie that I can
15 years
that I can remember is like Anchorman.
Okay,
and that's got to be more than 15 years old, right?
I laughed a bunch at Ricky Stenicki.
I don't even know what that is.
Because guys don't watch movies.
I watch a ton of movies. Okay. I probably watch as many, if not more, movies than you.
No, you probably watch more movies than me. Then
I don't know, but like I am picky about what I watch.
Well, there's your problem,
right? No, that's not a problem. It's actually good for me, so that I make good use of my time instead of watching crap.
Well, yeah, but if you're looking at comedy movies, right, and you're looking at the ratings, that's not a highly rated category, right? Like horror movies, you're never going to find a 9+ rated horror movie.
Okay,
they don't qualify for that.
Sure.
So if you're looking for a comedy movie, you can't trust the rating system. You just have to watch the movie.
6.5 is sort of where I.
Okay.
You know, if it's 6.4,
it's got to be 0.5.
See, and 6.5
or up, I'm like, okay. You know, and that's IMDb, right? IMDb.
Okay.
I use their rating. I don't use Rotten Tomatoes. I will, on occasion, check Rotten Tomatoes just to make sure. Because if it's something where I'm like, well, the producer's good and the cast looks pretty good. And, it's based on, like, a book or something. Like, so the writers didn't have to work much. You know, like, I'll give Rotten Tomatoes a look to see what they say and then maybe give it a shot because of that. But
there was the other one with Jennifer Lawrence, like, within the last couple of years. I forget the name of it.
Years? Comedy movie?
Yeah. Well, this is off the top of my head.
And it was funny?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
603-283-6160 is the extreme left ruining comedy. More Free Talk Live. Come on.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. Texas people say at least 220 people have been rescued from flooded homes and vehicles because of rising rivers near Houston. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo telling CNN no deaths or serious injuries have been reported. Senate Majority Leader from New York Chuck Schumer is announcing $400 million in funding to help boost security and safety measures at synagogues, mosques, and churches. The move comes on the heel of bomb threats at numerous synagogues in New York over the weekend. Senator Schumer speaking about the new law.
It allows you to put in cameras so you can detect who might do something to your synagogue. Fences, strong windows, and 2 years ago we modified it so you can actually hire personnel.
An investigation is continuing in Utah after a police officer is dead after being hit by a semi-truck during a traffic stop. This is USA News.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Nissan shifting.
Yeah. Honda.
Yeah.
Honda Civic.
The Honda with like the no muffler.
Yeah, with the huge muffler on the back that doesn't do anything.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like T-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. All right. Moving forward, because, you know, it's better than backward, I guess, depending on what you're trying to do. You know what I can't do? I can't back a trailer.
Oh.
Right? When you're towing a trailer and you need to
back it, yeah.
It's just my brain. You have to counter steer. You have to steer the wrong way to make the thing move the way you want it to, and it just, I don't know.
Yeah. Then try to straighten it out. You're like that Austin Powers in the hallway trying to.
And then, so like, the last time I was trying to do this, like.
Practicing video games.
the last time I tried to do this, some guy comes up with a van. But it had the tow package on the back of the van, but it also had a tow hitch on the front of the van. And he just pulled up to the front of the trailer, pulled it, you know, in reverse, right? And then, you know, moved it to where I wanted it. And then, like,
that's brilliant.
It was done.
Yeah. You ever see the video of, like, the VW Beetle with the tow mount on the roof?
And you just pivot? With the fifth wheel that, like, but it pivots underneath it? Yeah.
That's cool.
I have seen those. And I actually saw one of those fifth wheels in person one time when I was down in New Mexico. I was at some sort of a used car lot, and they had one. I'm like, oh, this is cool. But it wouldn't fit on the car that I had. And yeah.
How are you going to get a fifth wheel on a car?
It attaches to the roof of the car with these clamps that clamp onto the edge
and you would
of
trust
the windows.
Your car
and,
the
and so the car, it, well, somebody engineered this and made it, right? You know what I mean? So
journalist.
A journalist.
Yeah. Engineer.
Politician.
I mean, these were, I'm going to say mass produced. I don't know how mass, you know, but they were produced at least in factories and, you know, made to do this exact thing.
In Germany in the 30s.
Yeah.
Superior.
That's what they would say.
That's what they would
say. In Germany in the 30s.
That's what they would say.
So anyway, we began talking about in the previous segment this headline, at least, from Outkick.com. Jerry Seinfeld slams extreme left for ruining comedy. It's no secret that comedy simply isn't what it used to be. The idea of a movie like Superbad being made today is almost impossible to imagine. The woke mob has sanitized and killed humor to the point that it is neutered and vanilla. Seinfeld is now going on offense against those responsible for being outraged at comedy.
I feel like this is the same argument as the woke females saying that, you know, men just don't want to watch female leads in movies when the movie's just garbage.
Okay, here's a television show that no one remembers because at the time, it wasn't poorly named, but the name has become a poorly named series. It was out of the 70s, same time like Wonder Woman with Linda Carter and
The Avengers.
The original Shazam, right? And all that stuff was being aired, right?
The Hulk.
It's called ISIS.
Okay.
Is the name of the. Right. And it had this super gorgeous brunette girl in it, and she had that sort of like Egyptian look to her, right? You know, and that kind of thing. I don't even remember what her superpower was, but like. You know, that was a strong female lead and an absolutely crap show.
Okay.
Also, growing up as a kid, I used to watch this thing called the Croft Super Show. It wasn't broadcast all over the United States, but it was they would play different episodes of different shows within the one show.
Okay.
And one of the shows that they played was something called Electra Woman and Dyna Girl. And both female strong leads, right? Superheroes, right?
Okay.
That kind of a thing. There's a myth going around that, like, oh, there's never any strong women in strong leads, or there hasn't been, you know, up until 20 years ago. It's like, no, that's not true. You obviously don't watch enough film and television. Has that number increased, the percentage? Yes, absolutely it has in the last 20, 30 years or so. But it's not like there was none, right? People make it out to be like, women never had any.
The complaint is not that there isn't strong female leads. It's that the movies aren't doing well because of the patriarchy.
Well, I mean...
Sounds like the WNBA.
Movies and...
Which is picking up because they finally have a superstar who can, like, bring in money.
Yeah.
Movies and television have an obligation, a necessity to cater to the audience that will pay to see their films.
Yeah, and they don't.
And so if these movie studios are putting out films that don't work... They have to figure out why and correct that and make films that do work financially.
They probably do know what works, but are probably being steered to produce something else so they don't upset their social credit score, their DEI rating or whatever.
Well, let's find out what Jerry Seinfeld has to say.
Before you get into it, his recent release, Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Wars movie that just came out like days ago.
Whose release?
Jerry Seinfeld. He has a movie called Unfrosted about the Pop-Tart Wars. 42% on Rotten Tomatoes and 51 popcorn rating. So is it the woke left putting down, or is it just a garbage movie that's killing
it's
comedy?
6.4.
It's probably less than
4.1.
Different system, but you get the idea.
Yeah. Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. Used to be you would go home at the end of the day, and most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. MASH is on. Oh, look, it's the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Or All in the Family.
Oh.
You just expected there would be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it, Seinfeld said on the New Yorker Radio Hour.
It's on the torrent site. You just watch those old shows again.
Right.
To be fair, Jerry Seinfeld is old.
How old? How old is he? Or I'll ask the magic rectangle.
If only there were a device. The famous comedian then tore into the woke mob for being responsible for ruining great comedy, and he didn't hold back. This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thoughts about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates, like in skiing. Culture, the gates, they're moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that whenever they put in the gates, well, I'm going to just make this the gate, he continued. So he's talking about moving the gates yourself.
Okay, well, what did he do with Unfrosted then? Did he not take his own advice and still 40% on Rotten Tomatoes?
You should call him up and ask him.
I don't have his number.
All right. Well.
He probably doesn't have a cell phone because he's 70 years old.
Yeah, that's probably true. Seinfeld absolutely nailed it with his thoughts on comedy, according to this author. The entire point of comedy is to push the limits and offend people.
Right.
Okay.
So think about like the best comedians touring right now.
Great comedy should be edgy and make people uncomfortable at times. Nothing should be off limits. That's what makes a movie like Superbad or a TV series like South Park so incredible. Everyone and everything is a target. Instead of celebrating that kind of comedy, the woke outrage mob makes sure everyone is a victim that must be defended from being joked about. It's pathetic, says Seinfeld.
Yeah, but they're not the target market. Like, let them be offended. They're not going to, you know, there was some author or whatever, and some guy said, I'm going to, like, buy your book and burn it. And like, don't stop at one. Buy 10.
Buy 10. Buy 50. We'll ship
them. Buy a box. Yeah. You know, who cares?
We'll give you a 10% discount. Buy a whole dozen.
Let them shake their fists curmudgeonly all they want, but the people who are going to pay and enjoy the movie and the outrage and the offensiveness are going
to
pay.
It's really time to just start laughing at the woke mob. I mean,
have been from the beginning.
Well, I know, but it's time for society to just say, like, these guys are just
the problem is that they're a mob and they can't laugh at themselves.
Right.
Who cares?
As Patrice O'Neill famously said, the right to make any joke you want should be defended, whether the joke lands or not. He made those comments years ago, and his advice is as important as it's ever been. Let's hope we eventually have some kind of revival, and we can get back to the old days of great comedy. We can't let the woke mob win. Let me know if you agree at this author.
Here's part of the problem, then, with that comment combined with Jerry Seinfeld's point of view. Right? If the joke doesn't land, and you go like, well, it's because of the woke mob, and not that it was a garbage joke.
You're just making excuses
Right, right. Yeah. Just be funny. Right? Like, I watched Chappelle's latest one.
Oh, Chappelle's great.
He's great.
It is so, yeah. and it's better than his last one.
But his opening joke was like, what, like 5-10 minutes of a story?
Yeah. Right.
Just for a 10-second punchline that you didn't see coming. I didn't see it coming. Right. It was hilarious. Right,
I felt this is perfect. I felt like that last special was Dave Chappelle again. Like the last two specials were funny, but yeah. I was like, I feel like Dave's off. He's not, you know, his usual self. But this last one, I'm like, there's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
there's the Dave Chappelle we all know and love. You know what I mean?
Dave Chappelle still offensive. Bill Burr still offensive. Louis C.K. still offensive.
Yeah, I
Jimmy
like,
Carr, offensive?
Clay, is he still out there? I mean, he was pretty offensive.
I actually saw an ad for him. He was doing a live show somewhere, Atlantic City or something. Yeah, one of those two.
The TikTok.
Casino.
Frickin' Doug Stanhope, man. The unsung, edgy comedian.
Hero.
You know, so, like, he is still funny. That guy is just, I don't know. I'm a fan of that guy.
Be careful with Doug Stanhope. I will say this. Like, sometimes he puts out on YouTube or whatever, like the cam shot of him trying out jokes in smaller venues.
Yep.
And he needs to polish them. Like, he's funny when he has time to, like, polish the jokes on a special. But some of that, like, handheld stuff is
But you don't get to the point where you have enough jokes that are polished for a special
without working through the ones
that don't land.
I just put those out there. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Right. But, I mean, a band would make a demo tape. So what does a comedian do? You got to have, like, a test market or something?
Yeah, but the band practicing in the garage, they don't, like, send that to the radio
studio. Right, like, comedians famously will rehearse their bits, their
small
specials. In their hotel rooms or at home in front of the mirror so that they can critique with, like, a video camera going so that they can watch their performance back and also critique their stage movements, when they wink, when they smile, when they don't smile,
pausing,
when they pause, all that kind of stuff. Some comedians will even go so far
as to do what I call the Weird Al stage treatment, and that's where before the show begins, they will put stage plots. They will, you know, pieces of tape or little markers on the stage so that during their bit, they have already I'm going to be over here, now I'm going to move over to stage left, now I'm going to move to stage right, now I'm going to be in the middle of the stage, right, to in order to do their various bits. They will plot out every step that they take on the stage for the entire, you know, show that they're going to put on, if it's a half hour, if it's an hour, whatever it is.
When it was a thing, did you happen to catch Mitch Hedberg's Comedy Central special? By chance.
I mean, I feel like I did, but I don't know.
It all right.
Seems like it's a while ago.
Okay. Are you familiar with Mitch Hedberg? Do you think he's funny?
I do.
Okay.
Steve? I do not know.
Okay. Look him up. Because, again, the polish is funny.
Okay.
Not right now. Not on the magic.
No, do it now. No,
I have to do it now. Arrest. Forget. Yes.
Yeah. Don't let me tell you what to do.
Anyway.
So the liberty test. You failed.
There's an uncensored version of this special. It's a half an hour special. And during the filming of the special, he had to do like 25 minutes of extra jokes because he bombed in front of the crowd so many times that like they didn't have enough material
for a half hour
for a half hour special. So he did 25 minutes of extra jokes just so they could edit it all together and make him funny for a half an hour.
Yeah,
now, he's hilarious.
Well, this is why when you see comedians doing like two shows in the same night at the same venue. You'll see them do an early show, like a 7 o'clock, a dinner show, and then they'll do like a 9 or 10. This is why, because when they go to film them, now they have two shows at the same venue with the same camera angles for them to edit everything together.
And you'll catch continuity mistakes and the sweat stains on the shirt.
Yep, it's true.
Hey, those people weren't in the audience before. Who are those people? Front row.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, they spice it together.
Yeah. In one of Stanhope's specials, he actually points this out during the thing. He's like, those people who were here for the early show and decided to come back for the late show, they're like, wow, this show is way better.
Yeah.
And he's like, because I just remembered all this. Like, I forgot. I straight forgot some of my bit during the first show, so now I'm doing it. And so that's why you're getting a different show.
Makes it worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, to some extent, like Howard Stern came out of that shock comedy kind of thing, right? Andrew Dice Clay was that like shock comedian.
Yep.
Eddie Murphy was a shock comedian for their day.
Who was influenced by Richard Pryor?
Yes, right. Richard Pryor also a shock comedian. Sam Kinison. So like there was, you know, that's kind of the heyday of like, I'm going to say offensive comedy, at least offensive to, like I'm going to say conservatives, really.
Yeah, but who cares? It was funny.
It was super funny.
And this, we talked about comedy before. This is the other thing, right? You don't have to be offensive to be funny because there are clean comedians working.
Yeah.
And it's still funny.
Yeah.
And the one that comes to mind, because, again, his clips pop up everywhere, is like Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
Clean, family show, hilarious. Take your kids. Like, it's that clean. And he's hilarious.
And, like, I can even find humor or find people funny, comedians, that lean definitely towards the left.
Okay.
Eliza Schlesinger is, she's on tour again. I saw an ad for her recently. I'm like, oh, yeah. Watch one of her specials again. I'm like, oh, except for, like, the lefty stuff, she's really funny.
Yeah.
Right? So if you can, like, she only sprinkles it in here and there. It's not like her show isn't like, oh, I'm left. It's not that kind of show. There are comedians who do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not funny.
It's not funny.
They're not funny.
Right.
It might be to somebody. Just not funny to you.
No, I mean, like, you just watch their spat and you're like, nobody's laughing.
Okay.
You're like, well, oh.
Even the people in the audience are offended.
Well, if that's the case, right, then they'll
get applause for saying like a trendy political thing,
right?
But like the jokes just aren't. It's all applause. It's not a bunch of laughter.
Orange man bad. Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. That's like Wanda Sykes' last handful of specials.
Yeah.
Either way, but my point is like if they bomb on the special, it's probably because they didn't take that act into the smaller clubs to test it out, and polish their craft.
Right.
Right. That's a mistake on them for not doing the job, you know, before the job, right? Before the competition, like, you got to practice, you got to prep, you got
to
train.
In order to have a great show, you must prepare.
for the athletes, right? It's practice. Practice.
Practice, like,
I don't
right.
need practice.
Yeah,
I'm
just going to go right to the Olympics. No,
yeah, you're not. No.
That's yeah. all every guitar instructor will ever do. Practice, practice, practice,
yeah.
practice, 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 practice.
And practice is a lot more time-consuming than the competition.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't just get a special. You go do the jokes of the smaller clubs. You polish the act. You find
what works
yeah. what doesn't work.
Right.
You leave out the jokes that don't work. You embellish the ones that do. And then you put that together in a special, and everyone laughs throughout the whole thing.
And then, boom.
Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
I do. I still feel like, and I haven't attended any stand-up comedy since COVID, and I really want to. The problem is, well, I live here, and there's not a lot of that
around here. You got to see Jim Brewer in the parking lot.
That was the last stand-up comedy that I saw, and he was still funny, and he was funny enough that he actually brought the current political situation into the show and did it with great taste and tact. I thought it was kind of surreal seeing a guy on stage, you know, 10 car lengths in front of me, you know, with screens all around and everybody tuning in on their radio or whatever to hear the audio talk about how everybody's being locked down. It feels like the world is different now, and that we're all, you know, sort of trapped in, like, we're in these, like, little mini cages at the drive-in, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. It does feel that way, doesn't it?
And I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, man, I just had a surreal moment as he's like,
I can't even leave this 10-foot square to go to the restroom.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, me and Ian and somebody else was there with us. We all went to walk up to the merch table. And to see what kind of T-shirts and whatever they had, you know, maybe get a Jim Brewer shirt or something.
Massive.
And but there was this area of field between us and the merch booth, right? There was nothing in this area of field except for there were these little tiny stakes with little tiny string connecting the stakes, as if that was going to keep anybody from walking.
It's the COVID-free zone.
And it was literally like a half a foot tall. So like. You know, a small child could have, you know, stepped over this with no problem. We do that, of course, because we're cutting through on our way, like, as the crow flies, to get over to the merch table, which you can visually see. The merch table was not busy. There was not a line, you know. We're like, oh, let's get over there, right? So start cutting across the thing. Here comes Mr. Security Guy.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Like, oh, you guys can't walk over that. Like, we're just going through to the merch table. Like, nope, you got to go back and you got to go all the way around. We're like, guess we're not going to buy any merch today, right? And like, sorry, Jim. You know, the security guard was a Richard Cranium.
Hall monitor.
Yeah.
Did you tell him to keep his 6 feet distance? Just keep walking. Just stay six feet.
Yeah.
Actually, 6 feet.
Actually, somebody in the group did. Like, he got a little bit, whoa, 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 6 feet, buddy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You got to throw that back at him, man.
Yeah.
They did that to the manager at the Apple store around that time.
The genius?
No, he wasn't a genius. He was the manager.
He must not be a genius to be the Apple manager of the Genius Bar.
He kept coming and bugging me about the mask.
Somebody told me Apple is creating a thing called the Genius Bar, and I'm like, oh, I can go get drunk with a bunch of smart people?
The genius.
They're like, no, not that kind of genius. I'm like, well, is there another kind? You know? Then I moved here. I'm like, oh, I see.
The genius of Apple's, you know, customer service and what do you call it, technical support, is that they just replace it.
Right.
Like, they don't fix anything. They go, like, oh, it doesn't work. Okay, here's another one.
Right.
Yep.
Genius.
That's it.
That's why they're geniuses.
They don't take it apart. They're not like over there, you know, with the soldering iron and battery, you know,
microscope. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Just go like, oh yeah, you're right. It's broken.
What's the name of the thing the diamond guys use to lower the diamond? The monocle.
Okay.
L-O-O-P-E.
Loop.
A loop.
Wow. Very well.
A jeweler's loop. Yeah. Right. You learn something new every day. Well, almost every day.
I did not know.
At least on Sundays. On this show.
We try. Sometimes.
But you'll always get a number two on Sunday.
Well, not always. Not always.
Sometimes you get a double flush.
That is true.
It averages out.
In honor of Mark Edge being around and also producing this show tonight, I would like to go to our next story. This from thesmokinggun.com. Florida man.
Florida man games.
Age 46, arrested for road rage al dente.
Ooh. Al dente?
Road rage al dente? You mean the
like dented his car?
If you throw it against the wall, it sticks.
Spaghetti.
Okay. That's how you're supposed to test your pasta. Right?
Is that al dente?
You throw it on the ceiling.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah.
Al dente is still a little chewy. I don't know if it'll stick if it's a little chewy.
I think it will.
Okay.
I think
I don't throw my food in the kitchen. I just kind of taste it and go like, that's al dente.
I've got a wall that just has like little spaghetti marks.
Okay.
I don't.
All right.
Not true.
with the date on each one. Like, oh yeah.
The victim in the drive-by attack, cops say.
Drive-by.
Wait a second, drive-by? What did he do?
It's a noodle gun.
Florida man, age 46, arrested for road rage al dente. The victim in the drive-by attack, cops say, was hit in the arms, legs, and torso by a road-raging Florida motorist.
So that's why Mark flee to New Hampshire.
We all wonder why he's back.
Yeah.
We know now.
Kept driving.
46, way too young for Mark, though.
But the male escaped without injury because he was only struck by pasta with sauce.
What if it was hot sauce? Burned his arm.
According to a police report. Cops allege that Nolan Goines, age 46, was involved in a road rage incident over glaring headlights Thursday night while driving near his St. Petersburg residence.
Can you even claim an injury without provable damages? Like, he wasn't even hurt.
He was injured by the headlights?
No, he got hit by pasta, said there was no injury, so, like, what's the arrest for?
Just hit with pasta.
The road rage incident was over glaring headlights.
Well, yeah, I get that it's criminal, but I'm just saying, you know, usually with those things, you gotta, like, prove damages and that you were injured in some way.
You've been assaulted by pasta.
Yeah. That didn't hurt.
I mean, if somebody comes up and just kind of lightly slaps you across the face...
With pasta.
Have you been hurt?
It might sting a little bit.
Right, but I'm just, like, let's
I'm
say,
not injured.
Let's say it didn't really sting at all, but
okay.
You got slapped nonetheless.
Yeah.
Because that's still assault.
Yeah, it's probably technically assault, that's but battery, like, am I going to call the cops over it?
Okay, I get that, but wouldn't you call them over getting hit with pasta?
Depends if it didn't hurt.
If you're in Florida,
headline. If you're in Florida.
If it didn't hurt, I'm probably not calling anybody. The only person I'm calling is that dude, bitch.
Call the restaurant.
We'll talk more about the, I don't even know what to call this guy, the al dente assault victim.
Al Capone dente.
The Florida man. Coming up here on Free Talk Live, plus more of your calls and thoughts, and maybe some more fun stuff. Stay tuned. It's Free Talk Live.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.